This is the Pitch Vision Academy Cricket Show, Series 6, Episode 44, More Pizzazz. Coming up on this week's Pitch Vision Academy Cricket Show, we bring pizzazz to cricket, and we do that by talking about improving your strengths into super strengths, and we help a couple of guys who have some issues with their batting and their bowling. Bharath wants to bat like de Villiers, and Gurdit wants to improve his release position. All that and more coming up on this week's Pitch Vision Academy Cricket Show. Welcome to the Pitch Vision Academy Cricket Show. This is your guide to better cricket, no matter who you are, and no matter where you are in the world of cricket. If you need some help to get better, we're here to help you. And we, of course, are three men on a mission. My name is David Hinchliffe. I look after things here. And secondly, on the line from Mealfield School, it's Mark Garraway, who's the Director of Coaching there. Hello, Garras.
Hello, how are we all?
Very good, thanks. And secondly, it's the cricket professional at Portsmouth Grammar School. It's Sam Lavery. Hello, Lavers.
Hello, everyone.
Had a lot of fun last night cleaning up a great big leak in the indoor school at my club. And we had to innovate and purchase 14 doormats in order to create a nice dry area for the bowlers to run on. So that was good fun.
I saw the pictures, actually. It didn't look like fun, I'll be honest.
No, it wasn't. There was a lot of mopping, a lot of... we used five rolls of kitchen roll and all those doormats in a nice rectangle shape. And eventually we got it up and running so we could have a little bowl on it. So it all turned out well in the end.
A great effort for this time of year for people to actually get on with it and still get a session out of that, though.
Oh, yeah, definitely. You know, we called off a session earlier in the day for the younger ones, and then but the senior guys said, yeah, come on, let's go for it. And yeah, everyone chipped in and we managed to get it done. So, yeah, it's a real hat tip to the get on with it culture, Garras.
That's perfect. It's lovely to see everybody getting stuck in and, you know, reaping the rewards by getting practice done afterwards.
Yeah, here we go. We definitely got some stuff done. Speaking of getting stuff done, I wanted to talk a little bit about a phrase which has crept in a little bit, and I think we sort of take it for granted that we know what it means, but perhaps because it's a newish phrase, not everyone is quite as clear on it. I don't know if I'm 100% clear on it myself, so maybe we can talk a little bit about it. And that is super strengths. It is an idea that's become popular. You think of the idea of... building on your strengths rather than trying to remove your weaknesses, if you like. So, you know, turning something which you're already good at into something which you're exceptional at. But I really wanted to find out more from both of your point of view, really, of what that looks like when you're talking about developing players or, you know, developing yourself if you're still a player, and how you assess, you know, what is a strength that needs to become a super strength and what is a weakness that you can sort of allow because you're working on the super strength, and how do you prevent overdoing it, you know, focusing too much on strengths? So you've got a lot of questions around that topic. So, Garras, do you maybe want to give me an overview of what you think of when you think of developing super strengths?
Yeah, so I suppose you could look at some of the best players in the world and what their super strengths are. And, you know, Malinga is a classic, isn't he? Malinga hasn't spent a huge amount of time or as much time over his development phases in his career of trying to bang out length, you know, 65% of the time. You know, he's gone for learning skills that he can do, Yorkers, and making them absolutely masterful so he can go to those whenever he wants to. He's learned to bowl a couple of different types of slower ball and a slower ball bouncer. So he's mastered three or four things rather than going for necessarily the conventional one, because maybe his action type or whatever it might be, his what he wants to do out of bowling isn't around hitting length on a regular basis. You know, Glenn McGrath, his super strength was to hit a length. So he focused absolutely supremely on the ability to do that. You know, you've got two bowlers that have been fantastically successful in their particular formats of a game, and yet they've gone about it in two different ways rather than necessarily trying to learn to bowl Glenn McGrath, learning to bowl an absolute brilliant Yorker all of the time. He's focused more on being able to operate off of a length. So same when you see for batting, somebody's Virendra Sehwag, who's been playing recently in the All-Stars game and doing very well. You know, Virendra's onside game against pace was pretty limited, to be brutally honest, yet it didn't stop him from being a regular member of a top 10 test and ODI rankings. He was able to hit balls from off stump through backward point with regular ease, and yet, I'm sure many coaches down the way would have wanted him to have opened up an all-round game and a 360 game, and he ignored that and just kept doing what he was fantastically good at. So, there's an argument that says that we should try and make all of our super strengths as strong as possible, because we're going to be limited in how much we can affect the others, and that's what those guys have done. In athletics, which is obviously very topical at the moment, somebody like Usain Bolt, obviously his start is his weakest part of his programme, but I know for a fact, because I've seen him train and I've spoken to his coaches and spoken to the people who inform his coaches, that actually he spends more time on the strong bit of his race, which is from 60 metres onwards, because he knows it, as long as he's within touching distance at halfway, he will win. Whereas other coaches may go down the route of saying, right, but your start's not very good, so let's concentrate the next 3 month block on getting you off the blocks quicker. That's not the way they operate. You can probably make a 3% change in your start, but you can maximise a 70% outcome in your super strength.
I guess the danger, Labours, is that you can work on things that you're already good at to no major improvement, and then ignore things which you're not quite good at. So how do you avoid that particular pitfall?
Yeah, I guess you've got to be aware of what the outcome is you're trying to achieve when you're developing a super strength. So, and that comes down to what you're doing in all of your practice, really. Is there a specific goal that you're trying to achieve? And you can say, go and work on your super strengths, or work on your strengths and make them even better. If you're not doing it in a structured way that you know what's going to become better and what you're going to improve at, whether it is more power or more consistency or whatever it would be about that particular shot or particular delivery that you've got, then you're not going to actually add to it. Now, the same can be said exactly for your weakness as well, though. While there might be more margin for improvement on your weakness, again, if the training method that you're using isn't actually directed towards a specific area that's going to improve or a specific goal for it, then you're not going to have the improvement either. So you need to make sure you're aware of how something goes from a strength into a super strength, and what is the difference between one and the other. So for you, David, you can probably think about strengths of your game, or you can even think about yourself as a coach, and you can think about your strengths as a coach. And you might feel you're particularly strong at batting, or as a coach, you might feel you're particularly strong at coaching wicketkeeping, for example. Now, you've got to think, where can I improve that aspect of my game or my delivery as a coach to make it even better? And how can, and what are the gaps I'm missing in it, even though it's strong, to make it that super strength that we've talked about? So, I mean, you can probably analyse that now, right now, I would have thought.
In terms of technical stuff, I definitely feel strongest on the fielding side, especially wicketkeeping and batting.
So could
and I'm probably weakest when it comes to spin bowling.
Sure. So is there a reason for you to go and develop your spin bowling knowledge, or actually is there potentially more benefit in you really developing that fielding knowledge and becoming a specialist and having a super strength as a fielding coach?
I think, for me anyway, it's because I'm naturally interested in those things, I'm always looking to improve those things anyway. Whereas when it comes to spin bowling, I have to put the effort in to find out more information, because it just doesn't attract me in the way that, you know, helping someone become a better catcher or helping someone score more runs has, compared to helping a spinner take more wickets. It starts with interest for me. So I'm naturally do that. I'm naturally turning strengths, increasing strengths all the time anyway, I feel like.
Well, that sounds good, doesn't it?
Yeah. But then also I sometimes feel a bit bad because, you know, I'm spending so much time thinking about one thing that I don't spend anywhere near as much time thinking about other things. But I guess, you know, you've only got a limited amount of time on all of these things, haven't you? So you've got to balance it somehow.
And that's even the same for Absolutely. A Usain Bolt, isn't it? You know, as much as he is a professional sprinter, he only has X amount of time in order to be able to affect performance. So, you know, you choose how much you do on each one. And there's no doubt in my mind that he does do some work on his starts, because I've seen him do a little bit of work on his starts when I've been there watching him many moons ago. But the predominant area of his program, and when I asked his coach, was to make sure that he was so far above everybody else in terms of his 60 to 100 that even if he got off of blocks 7th or 6th, that he could still win that race. Because there was no guarantee if he got off of blocks 3rd and hadn't done the work to maximise his super strength that he would come out on top. So in your context there, David, you've got a real good knowledge of your fielding and your wicket-keeping, definitely. I think my advice to anybody from a cricket perspective or a coaching perspective is, if you're working with teams, then it's important to have that base level understanding across all of the disciplines. But you will always have one or two areas that you will be most drawn to, as you've just talked about, and probably best at. And often you look at the teams that, or coaches that people working within teams, is that their teams are often a reflection of them, aren't they, as a coach, and their strengths as a coach often are played out by the players on the pitch. And the best ones are the guys that do get the threshold of the spin bowling, wicket keeping, whatever might not be your strengths, up to a level where you can support the people that you're working with. And then obviously your super strengths get shown when they go onto the field, and they field well in your case, and the wicket keepers do that, and there's lots of energy, and that drives all the other areas of the team. So I think it's the same from a batting point of view. As I said, Virender Sehwag, you know, he's not going to scare too many seam bowlers through the leg side. But what he does do is make people so wary that if they miss off stump, or they miss middle stump in his case, then he's going to ping them through the offside, and it makes people, forces people into errors.
And sprint starts are easy. You just go on the B of the bang. That's all you need to do.
I'm sure he's been trying that for years, but it hasn't helped him much, has it? You know, he's always having to reel him in, but crikey, he ain't bad at it.
Yeah. Right, let's go on to the yes-no round. That's three questions that could only be answered yes or no, even if you want to say a lot more. So let's keep some discipline and let's answer the questions. I've got the first one here. First question. Coaches should favour a wooden bat over a skyer.
No.
No.
Second question. The game lacks focus on involving beginners.
No.
Yes.
Third question. Most club and school games are won and lost with spin.
No.
Yes.
Okay, let's answer a couple of questions from the listeners to this show, or perhaps readers to the Pitch Vision website. A couple of people have sent in questions to us, and we're going to do our very best to answer those questions. But whether we get those answers right or not, we are going to give a prize to the best question of the week, which is an online coaching course, courtesy of Pitch Vision Academy at pitchvision.com. And you can send your questions in to us, if you're interested in that, by emailing coach@pitchvision.com. Or we do have other ways to get in touch, which we'll tell you about at the end of the show. So the first question this week is from Barath. And Barath says, I have doubt every time I hit the ball. Even if I'm middle of the ball, my coach tells me that our foot must go the same direction where the ball goes. But I say, just look at Brendan McCullum or AB de Villiers, who can bat 360 degrees without moving their feet. So what should I do?
Well, first of all, it sounds like your coach is very much focused on the process, which can be a good thing, and the process of how you should bat and what position you should get into, and exactly what that picture should look like. One thing that we're becoming aware of, and I've become more and more aware of over the years, that not everyone fits the same mold, not everyone fits the same picture, and we shouldn't discount the outcome, even if the process isn't quite as we'd like it. So sometimes people don't fit the exact movement or technique or a method of playing a shot that we might want them to. However, the outcome they're generating is really strong. And it sounds like it, at times this could be the case here, that you're generating a really good outcome. However, you're not doing it in the way that your coach would like. You're not necessarily doing it in that textbook manner that might be encouraged normally. So I'd be just trying to communicate with your coach initially and say, look, can we assess my outcome a little bit as well as assessing the process? Because I feel like I'm doing a pretty good job there. It might be, however, that your coach is trying to take you from somewhere where your outcome is good, but maybe not every single time you're getting the success. And it might be that the changes he's looking to make are hopefully going to take you to a little bit more success. So maybe just up that consistency, even though you're doing reasonably well, he's maybe looking to just up that consistency of what you're doing. With regards to Brendan McCullum and AB de Villiers, whether or not they can score a 360 degrees without moving their feet at all, I would probably question a little bit. However, I don't think I doubt anything that AB de Villiers could do, because that guy can pretty much do anything these days. I haven't seen him score 360 degrees without moving his feet at all, but I've got no doubts if someone set him the challenge, he could do it. One of the skills I would actually say for him is the positions he gets into are very, very good. But also, he's very strong when he doesn't get into a good position, because of the coordination he's developed with his hands and the skill he's developed with his hands and bat to get himself out of trouble. So he has the ability to get into good positions and hit the ball in all directions, but he's also practiced hitting the ball in different directions, probably from poor positions as well. So inevitably, you're going to get into a little bit of an awkward position technically at times, and you've got to find a way out of it. And sometimes it's worth practicing being in those positions and developing your hands and your bat skill to try and find a method out of there. So in relation to those two, we're talking about many, many thousands of hours of developing coordination, developing really, really strong and quality precision with their eyesight, and fantastic balance and body position that allows them to do the things they do. So while they are brilliant to watch and they're great people to work towards as cricketers, they're probably not always the best examples, because what they can do is so, so special, and it's taken so much development over the years for them to get to where they are now.
I think for me, it's about, batting wise anyway, it's about trying to give yourself the best chance of success. And sometimes that looks like something which is, you know, out of the textbook, a technical perfection. And sometimes it's looking at, you know, what the outcomes are like. I mean, in the end, it's always about what the outcomes are like, really. But if you're giving yourself the best chance of success, then I feel like, you know, you might be working towards some kind of a technical change that's going to improve your chance of hitting the ball out of the middle. But if you're already hitting the ball out of the middle in the positions that you're getting in, then you're already giving yourself the best chance of success. Those things might change. Conditions change. Bowlers change. Standards change as you move up the levels, so you know that different challenges are thrown at you at different times. But as long as you are doing something towards giving yourself the best chance of success, then that's going to work for you. You know, AB de Villiers might play a crazy shot over his shoulder. His chance of success is much lower, but he's so good he can get away with it. So you know, you got to ask yourself, am I able to play that shot? Or will it take a bit more work to be able to do it in the same vein as AB de Villiers? And if not, maybe I can spend my time working on getting my foot into a slightly different position, which is going to give me the best chance of success.
The way that I read this question is that your coach has got a really good starting point for technique, because, you know, that front foot in particular, when we play front foot shots, you know, I got taught, just as you're being taught here, to point my foot in the direction that I want to hit the ball. So my on drive front foot position would be very much pointing towards at least where the non-striker is, if I got a right arm over bowler bowling at me, to allow myself to hit the ball through there. And equally, my cover drive would I'd have a more closed front foot, which would be going towards, pointing towards where I'm trying to hit it. So I get that. One thing I would say is, as coaches, we shouldn't become a slave to some of our traditional methods that we've been brought up with. They are blooming good starting points for us to look at and to evolve and develop our practice and individualise our practice. And this is a really good starting point for this coach, and I'm sure it's paid him great dividends over the years. But, you know, we should never become a slave to it, because the more we watch the game, the more we understand individuals, which we're getting better and better at within the game of cricket, the more we realise that you know, the same thing doesn't happen over and over again in individuals, but also across, you know, the best 10 players in the world. They will do it slightly different, as Sam just said. But it's a really good starting point from a coaching observation point of view. But I'd always, as you just said, David, look at the player. Hang on a minute. His foot's landing slightly differently to how I'd expect it to land, but he's pinging it for four every time. He looks balanced. He looks like he's in control. He's hitting it hard. Okay, right. You know, let's stick with that. Let's not try and mess with something that's working really well for him, because otherwise we don't get to work with players like De Villiers, because often we'll coach some of that pizzazz out of them. And I'm sure that I've done it over the years. I'm sure that in the formative years of all of our coaching experiences, we may have done that a little bit, because we've been a slave to something. And, you know, that's a good foundation, but nothing more.
Yeah, and if there's one thing that coaching needs, it's more pizzazz, isn't it?
Well, I think so as a game. You know, we're looking at a world game, aren't we? And this podcast is a great example of a world game, because you've only got to look at where, you know, the vast number of different environments that our questions come from to realise that cricket touches all sorts of parts of this globe and all sorts of people in respective countries. So, and entertainment is the way forward. You listen to a Brian Lara talk about what he was he a, you know, a cricketer or an entertainer, and he put himself down as an entertainer. And if we keep entertaining, if we keep doing the right things, if we keep, you know, the right decision making behind our sport going forward, doing the right things, then we'll continue to grow the game. And entertainment is a big part of that.
Absolutely, you know, it can, especially in the world of coaches. You know, it's very easy to get not bogged down, but perhaps get into the weeds and really get into some detail and understanding technical points and working with evidence-based coaching and all that kind of thing. And you forget that, you know, it's really about making the game as fun as possible, isn't it? You know, that's at the base of it. That's why we played the game in the first place and why we coach it now, because it's good fun.
Correct. And this All-Star game, I've only watched a little bit about it, but just watching all of these different complete legends of a game, some of which have been out of the game for a matter of weeks, some of which have been out of the game for 10 years, but just watching them do their stuff, it shows how to be the best in the world, or at some point in your life, you can go about it in so many different ways. And I thought it was just a lovely spectacle, you know, to watch Shoaib slinging it down at silly pace still. It was just absolutely magnificent. But equally, seeing the way that Virinder played and the way that Kumar, who's just come out of playing the game on a regular basis, play, you know, it's just wonderful to see the way that they go about it. And they all entertained us in their own special way. And as coaches, we've got to embrace that and support that.
Next question is from Gurdit, and it's another technical one. And we got some pictures for this one, so I'll make sure that those pictures go into the show notes for everybody to be able to see. And Gurdit says, my coach has told me that I release the ball over my head. Should I change this? So you can have a look at those pictures. Hopefully, guys, you've got them there as well. So what do we think about his action? He's a spinner. What do you think about his action? And is the releasing the ball over his head an area that he needs to think about?
Well, it's definitely an option for him. That is for sure, because he does release it over his head. His coach, fantastic observation. You know, congratulations on picking it up and then wanting to explore it, because otherwise you wouldn't have asked the question. I think, you know, I always go back to root cause. You know where I'm going to go with this. It's about why you're letting go of the ball over your head. And the limitations of letting the ball go over your head is that you're beyond perpendicular. So your drift could be compromised and all of your energy isn't necessarily going to go in the direction that you want. So assuming here that you're bowling right arm over to a right-handed batter, we've got no batter at the other end, as you'll see from the show notes if you have a look at that. But if you are bowling to a right-hander, then you'll notice that at point of release, the ball's being released from over the head, but also the centre of gravity is outside the width of the base. And obviously, what we know about that is if we can keep the centre of gravity within the width of our base, then we'll be able to transfer momentum most effectively and get more forces going through the ball to give the ball a big rip and also to help our accuracy. In terms of alignment, the feet are obviously misaligned to the target. If we take it back to a point where you've got both feet on the ground or your back foot's just coming up on the ground, if we were to draw a ruler line between the back foot and the front foot, the alignment would be going probably to 45 degree angle on the leg side, maybe even more, for those that have got better protractor eyes than myself, maybe even more. And obviously from an alignment point of view, you've got some forces going towards that 45 degree angle, yet you want to propel the ball just outside off stump to pitch it, to make it come back through the gate and bowl somebody middle and off probably would be the ideal outcome. So as you hit your bound strike, so where you jump, you'll notice that your foot angle is pointing towards that 45 degree leg side angle. Your body is going to follow that. And as you get to point of release, your body innately knows that if you end up bowling the ball in straight line from your angle, you're going to be hitting a short fine leg in the chest. And you don't want to be doing that. So then you have to release the ball from over your head to get it back online. This is going to negate spin. It's always also going to challenge your accuracy as well. So the suggestion would be to make sure that your bound strike is aligned with the target. So that last left foot, if it's pointing straight up the pitch towards your target area, which probably be just outside off stump, then you are more than likely to go in that direction. As a result, your arm slot will drop and you'll bowl it from an appropriate position. That would be my starting point, and I think you'd have a lot more success if you did that.
Yeah, that crossover is a big indicator, isn't it, Lavers? So if you've got anything to add in terms of the release point, great. But also, what do you see that's good? You know, what positives can we throw his way to encourage him?
Well, when there are kind of technical deficiencies or areas that aren't quite as we'd like, and one of the things I'd always say is that you're actually in a really powerful position because you're playing to a standard that you're at. So he obviously plays at the standard that he's at, and that could be anything from international cricket down to entry level junior cricket. But whatever standard you're at, you're obviously performing at that level. But you've got this area which you've just identified, which is a massive opportunity for improvement. So your next 6 months or next year ahead of you in terms of training is going to be exciting, because there's massive opportunity now to take you from where you currently are to a better cricketer. So first of all, I'd be excited that an opportunity has presented itself where you can adjust your technique and you can improve what you're doing as a cricketer, in this case as a bowler. Looking at the things technically that he does do well, obviously it'd be nice to see it as a video as well. But one of the key things for a spin bowler is the shoulder angle, which he gets pretty well. We're looking for those shoulders to get up and over the top, which means we want to take those shoulders from a flat plane where they're horizontal more to a 45 degree angle where we can get up and over the top of the ball. And we can wrap those fingers around it so we can get a little bit of overspin and get the ball up and down in the air. And you can see by looking at frame number 6, and people will be able to see this in the show notes. In the 6th frame there, you can see the angle of his shoulders is fairly steep, and that's given him an opportunity to get up and over the ball. Now, because of the way he's positioned, he's probably not going to have a great deal of success at the moment, because his arm's not going to be able to move forwards and get over the ball because his head's almost in the way a little bit there. And that's where he's bowling over the top of the head. But if he was to realign and to work on that jumping angle into his landing position and land slightly straighter, as Gareth has talked about there, he'd probably find that if he could retain the shoulder angle, which he's developed, then he'd probably be able to get a good amount of overspin, which, as we know, as a finger spinner, is really, really dangerous and really something that's going to challenge batters. So I think that's a really strong positive that he's got there. And I think he'd be pretty happy with that. The other thing, he's got a fabulous follow through. Both arms work really through. He completes all the way around with his legs, which is well, which is actually something that's quite difficult for him to do, given the position he starts in with his feet. So he works really hard with his with the back end of his action. So another good point there. It would be fabulous to see in 2 or 3 weeks' time, or 2 or 3 months' time, depending on how much time he can commit to practice, what he can make this look like with a couple of changes to that alignment, because the end result could be really good.
Time now for the soapbox. That is 60 seconds. One of the members of the team gets to talk about what they want without any interruptions. This week it's Sam Lavery. So Lavers, over to you.
Okay, mine's a fairly simple one today, and it's about spin bowling, actually. One of the things that I've always believed in and always taught is really maximising spin, and for young spinners especially, to really believe in spinning the ball first and looking for that control at a later date or along the line as that spin becomes more and more functional. Now, a few coaches have gone the other way, and they've looked to develop the consistency first, and I can see the merit in that, especially at certain times of year when the objective of a spinner is to get that second over and get that third over, and it probably is more important to make sure you put the ball in a reasonable area without really turning it, as opposed to bowling two bad balls in your first over and maybe your captain taking you off. But all I want to say is this time's a perfect opportunity to really go for it. It's November, December time for training. Really spin the ball big. You can start worrying about the accuracy when we get into pre-season. So it's a great opportunity to focus on spinning the ball as much as you can.
And that's just about all we've got time for on the show. Just before we leave, we're just going to sneak in one more thing, and that, of course, is the winner of this week's prize, the online coaching course from Pitch Vision Academy at pitchvision.com. And the two questions we had this week were Barath's question about batting technique and Gurdit's question about releasing the ball over his head when he bowls. Which one did you prefer this week, Gareth?
I'm going to go with Gurdit's one this week. I think great footage. It's enabled us to go into some quite good detail. And as Sam said, there's some really good stuff going in there, and a little bit of realignment work and working on that bound strike is going to make a huge difference to you. If you can maintain that completion of the action with a realigned one, then I don't want to face you.
Congratulations, Gurdit. That's praise indeed from Mark Garraway. And if someone was listening to the show, Garrus, and they were thinking they wanted to send their question in and find out if you would like to face their bowling, then how could they do that?
As long as they're not bowling over 55 miles an hour, then they're very welcome to give us a call on 0203 239 7543 or drop us an email on coach@pitchvision.com.
That's right. Our social media presence is all over the place. Facebook is probably the biggest part of that. Facebook.com/pitchvisionacademy. But you can also find us on Twitter by searching for Pitch Vision Acad. So we'll happily communicate with you in those ways. Now, if you want to listen to the show every week, then we do produce it every Friday, and you can download it onto your device by getting your favorite podcast app, doing a search for Pitch Vision Academy, and clicking on the subscribe button when you find it. If you want to stream the show over the web, or if you want to read the show notes, or if you want to get the archive of all the old shows, have a listen to them, download them, you can do all that through the Pitch Vision website. Head over to pitchvision.com/academy and click on the podcast link for all the goodies that are in there. That's all for this week. We hope you listen next week, but until then, have a good week. Cheers, Gareth. Cheers, Lavers.
Cheers, fellas.
Thanks, guys.